One out of every four cars has underinflated tires.
I didn't know that.
Check your tires' air pressure at least once a month. You'll get better tire mileage and save gas, too.
Okay.
This message brought to you by the Tire Industry Safety Council.
Thank you.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. If it works, it's obsolete, says Marshall McLuhan. Alas, he must be speaking of endeavors other than crime, for in crime, if it works, it's up to the law to find a way of stopping it as quickly as possible. But the clever criminal resists detection with every means at his disposal, fair or foul, and that puts the law at a distinct disadvantage. One must rely on clues. But what if the criminal has invented a new method of crime, one in which what is obsolete is the evidence?
Sheriff, what brings you out here again?
There's been another murder, Professor.
Another? Like the first one?
Yep.
But that's two murders in 2 days. Isn't there anything you can do?
No. We've got the bodies. We have the murder weapons. We can even construct a reasonable theory why the murders were committed. But the thing is, I got a feeling none of this is going to lead us to the murderer.
Our mystery drama, The Dominant Personality, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Percy Grainger and stars Roberta Maxwell. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
This is Imogene Coca. You know, mothers come in all sizes, shapes, and colors. And believe it or not, for 1 month every year, they also come in two sexes. Every January, women and men join forces to help generations of Americans as yet unborn. They take part in the March of Dimes Mother's March on Birth Defects, one of the most important marches Americans ever stage, because it's a march for the good health of all newborns. Every year, more than 250,000 babies are born in America with some kind of mental or physical defect. Mothers marchers know that's the way things are now, but they also know it isn't the way things have to be forever. That's why they're doing all they can to hasten the day when birth defects will be prevented. But prevention through scientific research costs money. So when a marching mother calls on you, give her or him your support in the fight against birth defects. Please give generously to the March of Dimes.
I'm lost and lonely, scared and sad, trembling at the thought of making you mad. My love is yours, but at times you're so cold. If life's like this, take me before I grow old.
This song was written by a man now serving time in a state prison. Most of the men and women in prison today were abused children, and many abused children grow up to abuse their own children. Child abusers can be helped. Find out how. Write Prevent Child Abuse, Box 2866, Chicago, Illinois, 60690.
Please stop the hurt I've suffered since my birth. Join the abused child's fight, put an end to their sleepless night.
Message of the Ad Council and the National Committee for Prevention of Child Abuse.
Imagine a rural area in the northern United States, an area so remote, the only roads are old logging trails. An area of glacial lakes and dark forests where the population is so sparse, every house is an isolated outpost of civilization. In the summer, the tourists come to boat and fish, but with the fall, they return to the city. And those few who remain, the natives, settle back into solitude. Such existence breeds persons of marked character, capable of coping with any situation. That is, with almost any situation.
Rod? Hey, Rod! Rod, you home? Oh, his car's in the back. He must be... Rod, where the heck are you?
Yes?
Oh, excuse me, ma'am. I was looking for Rod Talbert.
My name's Olivia.
I'm Murdoch Ross. I'm the county sheriff in these parts. I just dropped by to check on Rod's cabin since he's been gone.
Would you like to come in?
Well, is Rod here?
He went for a walk. He'll be back soon.
Huh. Thank you. I
was just trying to get a fire going in the fireplace. I'm not very good at it.
Well, you don't have enough kindling. And those logs, that's hardwood. You ought to use something like birch or popple.
Thank you. I guess it'll take me a while to learn everything. I'm going to have to know.
Say, excuse me for asking, but are you a friend of Rod's?
I'm his wife.
His wife? I never knew Rod was married.
He wasn't. We were married yesterday.
Where?
Down in the city.
Well, that's something. All these years, Rod's had a girlfriend and never said a word. Of course, he's not the kind to share confidence.
No, we only met 2 weeks ago.
But 2 weeks?
Well, I guess it does seem a little strange, but we were attracted to each other right off. It just seemed the natural thing. There. Is the fire better now?
Yeah. You want me to light it?
No, I want to do things for myself. I've lived all my life in the city. Everything's so safe and predictable there.
Sure is funny.
What is?
Rod getting married. I don't know anyone who's more of a loner than him. You know what we call him? The Great Gatsby of the North Woods. No one knows where he's from or why he came to live up here.
How long has he lived here?
Let's see, it's nearly 7 years now. Strange fella. But of course he must have told you a few things about himself.
No. I fell in love with his eyes.
His eyes?
Yeah. Sounds silly, I guess, but it's true. I was working as a waitress. Not much future in that. I must have seen 100 people a day sitting at that counter. Then Rod came in. Other men had looked at me that way, but with Rod it was different. He didn't say much at first, but he kept coming back. He never stopped looking at me. Then he started telling me about this cabin and the lake and the woods. It all sounded so beautiful.
I never would have figured when he disappeared like that 3 weeks ago, he'd gone to town to get himself a wife. Say, you got that fire going pretty good now. Listen, I don't want to stick around here on your honeymoon. You tell Rod I'll be by to see him tomorrow.
Is something the matter?
Well...
What is it?
I'm afraid Rod's got a problem with some of the folks around here.
Really? But we're so isolated here. There's not another house within a mile.
Yeah, well, like I say, Rod's a real loner. He just don't seem to like other people. He's got a habit of running trespassers off his land at gunpoint.
Rod does that?
Yeah. One neighbor in particular, a fellow named Shep Taylor, kept a dog. Now, Rod claimed he could hear the barking through the woods. He was always making threats. And then about a month ago, just before Rod disappeared, someone poisoned the dog.
And it died?
Yep. Anyhow, now Taylor's gone out and bought himself a new dog and... Well, I don't want any more trouble.
Maybe now that we're married, all that will change.
Yeah, maybe.
Let me pay visits to the neighbors. When there's so few people around, it's silly not to get along.
Well, there's Shep Taylor and a widow named Mrs. Booker. She's kind of a hermit herself. And then down the road in the other direction is Leo Hertel. He's from the city, too. He was a professor of psychology at the university. Until he decided to drop out of society and come up here.
He sounds interesting.
Yeah, he's got a whole cabin full of books. Well, it's going to be a cool evening. You ought to sleep good up here.
I'll walk you to your car. It's nearly dark. I wonder where Rod is.
Well, he didn't say where he was going.
He said he needed to go into the woods for a while.
Hey, you're not afraid of being left alone, are you?
Oh, no. This is an adventure. Oh! Oh! What's that?
Oh, that's a loon. You'll hear them a lot up here.
What a lonely sound.
Now, good night, Mrs. Talbert.
Good night, Sheriff.
What did he want?
Rod!
What was Murdoch doing here?
He came by to check on the cabin. You should have seen his face when I answered the door.
Why was he checking the cabin?
To make sure everything was all right, I guess. He seems like a very nice man.
He's okay.
I'm glad you're back. Where did you go?
Just walking. Through the woods down by the lake.
You love it out here, don't you?
Yeah.
I think it's even more beautiful than you described. Look at the autumn colors. And not another house in sight. Oh, what's that?
Damn.
Rod, what's the matter?
That sounded like it came from Taylor's place.
Rod, the sheriff said Mr. Taylor had a dog that was poisoned.
So I heard.
He said he's bought another. But it's not so bad. You can barely hear it.
Let's go inside and make some supper. And then get some sleep.
Rod? Good morning.
Good morning. How'd you sleep?
Oh, I don't know. I feel tired.
Here, splash some water in your face.
Oh, it's cold. Oh, I don't know why I don't feel more rested. The sheriff said the cool air here knocks one right out.
Maybe it just takes getting used to.
Hello?
Oh, who's that?
Leo Hertel. He's an old professor who moved up here a few months ago.
Oh, yes. The sheriff told me about him.
Morning, Rod.
Hello, Leon.
Is this your new bride?
News travels fast.
Well, not really. Murdoch stopped in to see me last night on his way back to town.
My name's Olivia.
I am pleased to meet you.
You had breakfast yet, Leon?
I know.
Would you like to join us?
Now that I've had my morning constitutional, I'd be delighted. Oh. Who's this?
It looks like the sheriff again.
Oh, this is becoming quite the gathering place. Getting married certainly brings changes, eh, Rod?
What could the sheriff be doing out here at this hour?
He said he wanted to speak to you about Mr. Taylor and his dog.
Morning, everyone. Rod, Mrs. Talbert, Fisher.
Morning, Murdoch. Out a bit on the early side, eh?
Shep Taylor's been murdered.
What?
Oh, no.
What happened?
He was found in his bed, bludgeoned to death. Otis Thompson came up from the lumber yard to make a delivery about 7 this morning. He knocked, and when there was no answer, he went on in.
Oh, that's terrible.
I thought he'd got himself a new watchdog.
Yeah.
Wasn't any good, huh?
The dog is dead, too. Labrador retriever. Fully grown. Strangled.
Wow.
So who did it?
Yeah, I don't know yet. No idea. Thought since your property lies next to his, you might have heard or seen something last night.
Not me. I was sleeping like a log.
And Miss Talbert?
I didn't sleep very well, but I wasn't awake. At least I didn't hear anything that I can remember.
Maybe something disturbed you?
I don't know.
Thing is, whoever it was didn't come up by Taylor's Road. There are no fresh tracks except from Thompson's lumber truck. And the only other way to Taylor's cabin is along the path that cuts through your property, Rod.
I told you, Sheriff, I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything.
You think perhaps it was a hunter?
Yeah, deer season doesn't open officially until tomorrow.
Well, it could have been a poacher.
Yeah, poachers don't generally leave trails. That's the problem. I'm going back into town to file a report. You want to lift back to your place, Professor?
Yes, Talbot's asked me to stay for breakfast, but I think maybe I should just take a rain check.
Suit yourself, Leo.
Of course.
Mrs. Talbert, I'm sorry about this. It's not a very pleasant introduction to our community.
Oh, Rod, this is awful.
It's happened before.
What do you mean?
Seems like every 5 years or so, someone goes berserk around here.
Why?
Not enough to do. Cabin fever.
Doesn't it bother you that that poor man is dead?
Why should it? I couldn't stand the guy.
Professor Hertel?
Oh, Miss Talbot. Oh, what a pleasant surprise.
Am I disturbing you?
No, I was just sitting out here reading an old book, but a visitor around here, that's an event.
Can I talk to you?
Certainly. Is something the matter?
The sheriff said you used to be a professor of psychology.
Yes. What is it?
It's about Rod. I'm worried. I'm beginning to think maybe I don't really know him at all. We got married so quickly, but he seemed like the kind of person one could trust.
He's certainly a good-looking fellow.
But I think I've made a mistake, Professor. A terrible, terrible mistake.
It may seem out of place at this point to quote a famous American humorist, but George Ade once observed that those who marry to escape one thing usually find something else. However dull the routine Olivia thought she was shedding when she came under the spell of Rod Talbert, she may well have stepped into a situation even less desirable. Far less desirable. In fact, deadly. I'll return with our second act shortly.
For some kids, running and jumping is only a dream. Some kids can't even walk. Shriners Hospitals for Crippled Children often make dreams come true. At Shriners Hospitals, the best medical attention money can buy is free. If you know a crippled kid that needs big help, call the Shriners toll-free, 800-621-1113. You don't have to be a Shriner or be connected with a Shrine in any way to help a crippled child. All you have to do is make a phone call. 800-621-1113. Shriners Hospitals don't care about their race, color, or religious belief. They just care about kids. So if you know a crippled child that may not know about the Shriners Hospitals, call the Shriners toll free. 800-621-1113. That's 800-621-1113.
Certain foods, plants, and animal products you can't bring back to the U.S. You can't because they're prohibited. They're prohibited because even one of these foods, plants, or animal products might carry a disease or pest that could spread to our crops and gardens and animals with devastating results. You haven't been everywhere on the globe yet, but there's always tomorrow. And before you go again, write for the free booklet that explains the law. To Traveler's Tips, U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington, D.C., 20250. It's free.
If you were ever arrested, to whom would you make your one phone call? If you were in trouble, to whom would you turn for help? What if you were far away from friends and family? Far away from anyone you knew and could trust. What, for example, if you were in a lonely rural community where everyone was a stranger to you, and the most strange of all was the person who had brought you there, the person you had married?
You think you've made a mistake, Mrs. Talbot? What kind of mistake?
I don't think I should have come up here. I don't think I should have married Rod. I don't know what got into me.
Got into you?
The very first time I saw him staring at me, his gaze locked into me. I felt like I had no willpower of my own. I couldn't think clearly. It was as if I was under his control.
Oh, I can understand that. He's a very good-looking man. I often wondered why he never got married before now.
No, it's more than just his looks. He has some kind of power.
Oh, it sounds to me like you're talking about love.
No.
And if you are, I'm afraid you're talking to the wrong person. I've never been married. I was so obsessed with my experiments and researches into the mind, I realized I was working myself into an early grave.
That's why you moved here?
Yes, this forest primeval, as Longfellow would call it, is the furthest extreme imaginable from the bustle of university life. And now, at last, I'm free.
But the murder of Mr. Taylor...
I know. Shocking. Tragic.
Didn't you notice... yesterday, when the sheriff came by and told us about it, that Rod seemed totally unmoved by that man's death.
Rod's not an easy person to get to know, and I haven't known him that long. I've only lived here a few months. But you don't think he killed Taylor, do you?
I don't know what to think. All of a sudden, he seems so cold. Oh, that sound.
The cry of the loon.
So lonely.
The Indians used to say the cry of the loon was like the cry of a woman lost in the woods.
I'm beginning to know that feeling.
Are you frightened?
Yes. And tired. I slept so restlessly again last night. Doesn't that mean something? My subconscious telling me what a terrible mistake I've made?
Mrs. Talbot, I have been observing your husband. Frankly, he fascinates me. And I think I can tell you something about him.
Please.
He is what we psychologists call a dominant personality.
What does that mean?
A law of nature demands that human beings, just like any other animal species, have a pecking order, an order of dominance. It's been clinically proven that there is a small percentage of people who have the ability to lead others, to control them. These are people to whom the rest of us just naturally defer.
Why?
Oh, it could be due to any number of causes. Superior will, a stronger sense of purpose. But the point is, I don't think you need to worry that Rod has cast any mysterious sort of spell over you.
But do you think he killed Mr. Taylor? I mean, if they were enemies, if Taylor was getting on his nerves... If Rod is one of those dominant people, he wouldn't like it very much if his will was thwarted, would he?
No.
Has he ever told you anything at all about his past?
No, he never discusses it.
Why does he want such complete isolation from other people? And if he does, why did he marry me?
You're not thinking of leaving, are you?
What if he plans to kill me, too?
I think we're jumping to conclusions. You say you're frightened. Under the circumstances, I can't blame you, but I think there's someone who's even more frightened than you.
Rod?
Yes. I think he senses the power he has to exercise this remarkable influence over others, and I think it terrifies him.
And that's why he tries to live as far away from others as possible?
And why he never speaks of his previous life? Possibly.
But if he's in hiding... If he did something.
The point is, he went down to the city, he found you, he married you. To me, that's the behavior of a man who wants to change, to make a new start.
But then why?
You do love him, don't you?
I don't know.
You have some feeling for him.
Yes. But that poor Mr. Taylor...
Mrs. Talbot, Shep Taylor's dog, a full-grown Labrador retriever, was physically strangled. Do you really think Rod could do such a thing?
I've heard stories about people going crazy and doing things like that.
If you were married to a psychopath, I think you'd know it. But I understand your fear. Perhaps you would feel safer back in the city.
No. I'm not going to give in that quickly.
Mrs. Talbot, are you all right?
You and Rod aren't the only ones who had their reasons for coming here. I'd better be getting back.
Maybe I should walk with you through the woods?
Thanks. But if I'm going to stay, I'd better get used to walking the woods alone.
You understand, of course, that I have a purely selfish interest in wanting you to stay.
Thank you. Professor Hertel, does Rod like you?
I hope so. Why do you ask?
The sheriff said it wasn't just Mr. Taylor... Rod's never been friendly towards anyone who lives nearby. But yesterday morning, he asked you to stay for breakfast.
Well, Murdoch is fond of exaggerating. It's a habit with people up here when there's not much excitement. Rod's just like anyone else. He's a fine fellow if you treat him right.
Rod! Rod! I'm back. Are you here?
Morning, Mrs. Talbert.
Sheriff.
Pardon my coming on in. It's getting a bit chilly this time of year to wait around outside.
I didn't expect you. I didn't see your car.
Oh, it's parked down by the main road. I came up through the woods.
Is Rod here?
No. I was just waiting for him myself. Certainly doesn't like spending much time indoors, does he?
No.
You got any idea where he might be?
When I awakened this morning, he was already up and gone.
Maybe he went hunting.
Hunting?
Now, the deer season opened today. Rod's real fond of stalking game.
He didn't say anything to me about it last night.
He just up and disappeared, huh?
I guess he's still used to living alone.
Yeah, I guess so.
Why are you here?
Because, Mrs. Talbert, there's been another murder.
What?
Yeah, found the body this morning.
Was it someone who lived nearby?
No, this one was a hunter from the city.
Oh.
Made camp down by the river on the other side of the road.
Oh, but that land, that's the land that Rod owns.
Yep.
Was this man shot?
No. No, he died the same way Taylor did. Bludgeoned. Obviously by a person of great strength. Now, some other hunters going upriver by boat spotted him at dawn this morning.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm a mite more than that. Where is Rod, Mrs. Talbert?
I don't know. I told you he wasn't here when I woke up.
Where were you just now?
I went to see Professor Hertel.
Oh, social call?
He's a very nice man.
Is there anything you care to tell me, Mrs. Talbert?
About what?
Two murders in two nights. Don't have to tell you how it looks, do I?
No.
No. Now, I know Rod doesn't like trespassers, Mrs. Talbert. Oh, neither do I. But the penalty for trespassing is ordinarily not death.
Do you have proof that Rod did it?
No, nothing. Nothing concrete. There's no smoking gun, as we say. And that's why I'm here. Are you a heavy sleeper?
I don't know. Why?
Yesterday morning, you complained you had a bad night.
Yes.
And how about last night?
Why?
I just thought you might have been kept awake by Rod's comings and goings.
That's not fair. You have no proof against him.
Why are you defending him, Mrs. Talbert?
Why?
That's what you're doing, you know. And it's real odd, because if your husband is guilty, the one person who ought to have the most to fear is you.
Hello.
Rod. Where have you been all day?
Out.
Where?
I was doing a little fishing over on the river.
The river?
Got us a nice bass for supper.
Oh, but I don't know how to cook it.
I'll show you. Get some scallions and basil from the garden while I clean it.
Rod, could we sit for a moment and have a talk?
What about?
About us. I mean, about why we got married?
Sure.
We really don't know very much about each other.
We know what we see. What else is important?
But what about your past? Where are you from?
That doesn't matter.
What made you decide to come and live up here?
I don't like crowds. I don't like being dependent on others.
Were you ever married before?
Why?
A woman likes to know things like that.
Why? What difference does it make?
Were you?
Olivia, we'll get along fine if certain doors just remain shut.
Why did you use that image?
What image?
About doors staying shut.
What's the matter with it?
It's like the story of Bluebeard and his castle with the door he tells his wife never to open. The door to the room where the bodies of all the other women he's married and murdered are.
What's the matter with you? You crazy or something?
If you don't like people, why did you marry me?
I don't talk about feelings. Okay? How come you're so nervous anyway? If I'd known you were going to be so nervous, I never would have picked you.
Rod, there was another murder last night.
What?
Down by the river, on your land. The sheriff was here. He wants to see you.
He thinks I did it. Does he?
Yes.
Huh. I don't know anything about it. But I can tell you this much. I didn't do it. Now, come on. I'll show you how to cook this fish. And then we can go to sleep. Olivia, are you asleep? Listen to me. You've done very well. You've done everything I wanted you to. Olivia, can you hear me?
Yes.
Olivia, I want you to go out again tonight. I want you to go to the professor's cabin this time, Olivia. And I want you to kill him just the way you killed the others. And then you will come back here to bed. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Farewell, contentment. Farewell, the quiet life, said Desdemona when she realized she was hopelessly in love with the charismatic Othello. Olivia Talbert might well echo her words, for she too seems to have come under the spell of a powerful man. But if Rod has indeed mesmerized her in order to use her to create for himself a perfect solitude, then her plight is even more desperate than the fair Venetian's, for at least Desdemona was able to enter into her marriage with her eyes open. I'll return with our conclusion in a few moments.
Hi, Pat Summerall. True Value Hardware Stores decided that the best way to produce a memorable Super 7 Value Circular was to start out with good values and put an end to most prices. So they fill their Super 7 Value Circular with values on name brand merchandise with most prices that end in the number 7. For example, the Master Mechanic 16-inch hip roof toolbox is just $5.97. It features all steel construction, and the handy tote tray has a convenient socket compartment. True Value Hardware Stores also offer the Carol Cable 25-foot Trouble Light for just $3.97. There's an outlet on the handle for plugging in power tools, and the long cord means that you can take the light to your work. See these and other Super 7 values in the Super 7 Value Circular from participating True Value Hardware Stores and home centers. Save gas. You won't have to drive far for your shopping and gift-giving needs. If you're looking for values, service, and selection, you'll find them nearby at any one of the more than 5,000 True Value Hardware Stores and home centers nationwide.
A lot these days about children who have trouble reading. This is Marlo Thomas. My involvement in producing children's records and television programs has taught me that kids love stories and want to read. To make them good readers, you have to start early and introduce them to books. You also need to get them used to the idea that reading is fun, because it is. These are two of the simple tricks to reading. The library is another. Almost every library I know has a collection of books and learning materials, especially for children. The children's room in a library is one of the most exciting places to be. Lots of libraries have story hours and give puppet shows. These are wonderful tools for teaching kids to read. If you are a child or a parent and you haven't checked out the library's children's place, do it. You'll get carried away. And you and me are free to
public service message from the American Library Association.
It is said that there is nothing new under the sun, but under the moon, that's a different matter. The moon, Luna, was once believed to be the cause of insanity. It was said to control the dark, irrational side of man's nature. Today we know that isn't true. And the only connection the moon has to the irrational forces in our present story is that it is shining fitfully down on Olivia Talbert as she walks along a desolate country road. The night wind is cold, and now the moon has ducked behind a cloud, leaving all in darkness. But Olivia is indifferent to any obstacle that would keep her from her goal.
Hey! Hey! Hold it up there! Who is that? Mrs. Talbert. Mrs. Talbert.
Yes?
What the heck are you doing out here?
I'm going to see the professor.
Leo?
Leo Hertel, yes.
Do you know what time it is? It's past midnight. I was just making a final patrol before heading back to town.
That's nice.
Say, you aren't in trouble, are you?
Excuse me. I must keep going.
Now, wait. What are you doing out here in your nightgown? Aren't you cold?
Thank you. No.
Mrs. Talbert, are you all right? Mrs. Talbert, wake up! Wake!
What? Oh, Sheriff. Where am I?
You're out in the middle of the road, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, it's cold.
Here. Take my jacket.
Oh, how did I get here?
You look like you were walking in your sleep. Here, get into the car.
No, I don't think I should.
Why not?
I shouldn't.
Come on. It'll warm you up. There. Slide on over. That's it. There. Feel better?
I feel nervous.
Tell me, has this ever happened to you before, walking in your sleep?
I don't think so.
What's that thing you've got in your hand?
What? What is it?
It's a whetstone with a wooden handle. The kind you'd use on a large blade.
Let me see. Oh, it's so heavy. What was I doing with it?
The question is, where did you get it?
I don't know.
Seems to me I recollect Rod having a whetstone like this.
There's a tool shed behind our cabin, but Rod keeps it locked.
You think you could have opened that lock in your sleep?
No, I couldn't have done it because I don't know where he keeps the key.
Mrs. Talbert, why were you going to see Leo Hertel?
Was I?
That's what you said before I shook you awake.
Why should I be going to the professor's house in the middle of the night?
And with that implement in your hand.
Sheriff, you don't think that I...
Now that Taylor is dead, Leo is Rod's closest neighbor.
But I like him.
But what about Rod?
Rod likes him, too. I mean, he certainly doesn't have anything against him the way he did with Taylor. You heard him the other day. He even asked him to stay for breakfast.
I don't pretend to know what goes on inside that man's head, Mrs. Talbert.
You don't think that Rod... But what did he do? Hypnotize me? That's not possible, is it?
I don't know. I don't know what goes on these days anymore.
I think you're making a mountain out of a molehill. If you're suggesting that I'm susceptible to hypnosis and that Rod has been using me to kill people.
Would you like me to take you into town?
Now? What for?
Well, maybe you'd feel safer.
I'm not afraid.
You could stay with us. I'll have my wife make up a bed for you.
No. I want to go back to Rod.
Why?
I want to be with him.
Look, Mrs. Talbert...
I'm not afraid of him. Please take me home, Sheriff. That's where I belong. That's where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Come in. Professor?
Murdoch. Is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, just a second. I'll turn on the light.
Sorry to wake you up at this hour. I think there may be a new development on the murders.
Oh, no. Has someone else been killed?
No. But if I'm right, there almost was.
Who?
You.
Me?
I found Olivia Talbert walking along the road just now. She said she was headed here.
Mrs. Talbert.
Look, I need your help, Leo.
If I'm the next victim, you've got it, but Mrs. Talbert.
She seemed to be in some kind of a trance. And when I snapped her out of it, she acted confused. At first, I thought she might have been sleepwalking. But then I noticed she was carrying a heavy whetstone.
You mean something that could have been used as a weapon?
Yes.
Oh, dear. This is most distressing. I never would have believed. You think she was just pretending to be sleepwalking then?
No. No, I think she was in a trance, all right. She wasn't properly dressed against the cold, but didn't bother her until I woke her up. Now, what I think is Rod has been hypnotizing her.
Well, that's a pretty fantastic proposition, Murdoch.
Well, that's what I want to know. You're a professor of psychology.
I was.
Is that kind of thing possible?
Yes, theoretically, I suppose. It would depend on the powers of the dominant person and the suggestibility of the subject.
But whoever's killing these people would have to be strong as an ox. Taylor's dog was strangled.
Subjects often exhibit supernormal strength while under hypnosis. If that's what Rod's been doing, it's an impressive achievement. That's a purely clinical appreciation, of course. Where's Mrs. Talbert now?
Well, she insisted I take her back to Rod's cabin.
Really? Even though she realized what's happening?
Yeah. I'm worried about her. On the other hand, if I'd taken her into town with me like I wanted to, I'd probably never be able to build an airtight case against Rod.
How are you going to do that?
Well, if you'll help me.
Of course. I'm very fond of Mrs. Talbert. I don't want anything to happen that would hurt her.
I'm going to go by there first thing in the morning. Now, I want you to appear while I'm there. If Rod thinks you're dead and then sees you, will you do that?
What time?
I'll get there at 10 of 8. You come by at 8 o'clock sharp.
Olivia. Olivia. You returned much too quickly.
I know.
Did you do what I asked you to?
I tried.
Is the professor dead?
No.
Why not?
I didn't go all the way to his cabin.
You didn't listen to me. I don't want people around me. I want to be rid of all of them. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I want you to go out again, Olivia. Now. And this time, I don't want you to fail.
Come in, Olivia. I've been expecting you.
I'm here.
I'm glad. I had no way of knowing how many nights it would be before Rod would send you to me. Do you know why you're here?
To kill you.
Very good. I can't tell you how excited I am. This is my ultimate triumph. For years, I have studied and experimented for this moment. And now, at last, it has come.
Do you want me to kill you now?
Oh, no, you're not going to kill me, Olivia. And do you know why? Because I am the one who really controls you. Rod is only a middleman.
Do you understand? Do you realize what I have achieved?
What?
A month ago, I brought Rod under my power and ordered him to find someone like you. I have accomplished the ultimate feat of mind control, the absolute mastery of another human being.
That makes me very happy.
Anybody can hypnotize a suggestible person face to face, but to be able to invest that person with hypnotic powers of his own, to order him to find his own subject and order that subject to commit murder, I have achieved something that anyone in my profession will tell you is impossible, but I have done it. I'm the dominant personality behind all this.
Do you want me to kill you?
Of course not. How obedient you are.
What do you want me to do?
It is time to bring my experiment to a safe conclusion. I am going to give you a gun.
Yes. What do you want me to do with it?
You and Rod are murderers, Olivia. You are evil people. Do you understand me? I want you to return to Rod's cabin. I want you to shoot Rod and then yourself. Once this is done, you will be forgiven.
Thank you. I understand.
I know you do. And now, Olivia, goodbye. You may go now.
Hold it, Leo.
What?
Don't move, either of you.
Murdoch.
I had second thoughts about leaving Mrs. Talbert alone with Rod. So I went back, just in time to see her leaving the cabin again.
And you followed her?
That's right, Leo. And I heard it all. Mrs. Talbert, you can put that gun on the table now. Mrs. Talbert? Leo, tell her to put that gun down before she hurts herself.
Olivia, point your gun at the sheriff.
Leo!
Do as I say.
Yes?
Leo, tell her to lower that gun.
Squeeze the trigger, Olivia. Squeeze it.
Yes.
No! At him, not...
That nice man.
Mrs. Talbert, will you give me that gun now? Are you all right?
Oh. Oh, what have I done?
He's dead. Do you know what happened?
Yes. He told me I had to earn my forgiveness.
Do you remember killing the others now?
Yes. Oh, Sheriff, it's all so frightening.
It's over now. It's all over.
Oh, but the frightening thing isn't. The frightening thing will never be over.
Huh? What's that?
That I have such strength inside me. That I have such strength.
At the final moment, Olivia Talbert turned her gun on the very man who seemed to have her under his total control. For there was one fact of human nature Leo Hertel forgot. One fact that all his warped discipline and evil power could not change. No person can will another to act indefinitely in contradiction to his nature. And what about the strange marriage of Rod Talbert and Olivia? A final word on that in a moment.
Hey, buddy, can you give a fella a break?
Sorry, fella, I only give at the office.
I'm not looking for a handout.
What can I do for you?
Help save my life and breath.
Do you need mouth-to-mouth breathing? I'm not the type.
No, but you're smoking. And your smoke is hitting me where I breathe. And what with an allergy and pollution, you're not helping any.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bother you.
Sure, but the fact is that your smoke is getting in my eyes and nose and throat. And that's not a good song for my lungs.
Well, you could always move away.
I do, and then there's another one puffing away in my face. How about a deal? Like the Lung Association says, smoke if you must, but make smoking a private affair. Or quit. Secondhand smoke is truly offensive for non-smokers.
Well, I'll give it a try.
Wish you would, otherwise they're going to hang a tag on you.
A tag?
Yeah, cigarettes are a health hazard, and so are you.
Got you, buddy. Now, about that handout...
Save it. Let me give you one. Your lung association says that giving up smoking is a matter of life and breath.
Whatever it was in Rod Talbert's past that drove him to the woods remains a secret. That he is innocent of murder is all we need to know. The rest is none of our business. As for his marriage, we can assume it was annulled. For the one thing we do know about the man is that he prefers to live alone. And it is usually best to let people have their way in such matters. Besides, hypnosis isn't a very good basis for a marriage. Our cast included Roberta Maxwell, Ralph Bell, Gordon Heath, and Charles Irving. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
And what is this thing about Professor Kloost?
I do not know.
Madame, I am grateful to you for getting me out of there. Although, for all I know, you're the one who may have got me in there. However, you and I both know you're not telling me the truth.
Let me give you a word of advice. Forget everything that happened tonight.
Forget?
It was all a mistake on everyone's part. Therefore, it is best forgotten.
I was beaten up. Do you expect me just to forget that?
Well, sometimes that is the wisest thing.
Look here, Miss Fräulein or Frau or whatever. There's something going on here that's wrong. That's criminal. I do not intend to make believe it never happened.
You are warned. If you intend to make a fool of yourself, no power on the earth can stop you.
Mrs. E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
News. President Carter defends his new budget, saying he has not robbed the poor to pay for more spending on defense. I'm Deborah Potter reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The U.S. Conference of Mayors wound up a meeting in Washington today, charging that the 1980 budget makes it difficult for cities to meet the needs of the poor, the elderly, and the unemployed. At his news conference, the president was asked why he hadn't kept his campaign promise to reduce military spending, but has instead increased it at the expense of social programs.
I think we have kept the campaign promise. We obviously can't freeze the defense budget at a given figure, but we've had savings that are substantially in excess of the $5 billion that I promised during the campaign. I have no apology to make for a strong, adequate defense, nor for the allocation of funds necessary to ensure a strong and adequate defense. I think we are able at this point to match any military capability that the Soviets have. I think we are much stronger economically and politically than the Soviet Union is.
Mr. Carter also said he believes the U.S. recognition of China will help bring peace to the world and should not be seen as a threat to the Soviet Union. More news after this. Pope John Paul II was greeted by cheering mobs as he arrived in Mexico City today, and in his comments during Mass at the National Cathedral, he called on the Mexican people to remain faithful to the Church. Tonight, he met at the Presidential Palace with Mexico's Chief of State, López Portillo, a meeting that had been in doubt because of the country's long-standing diplomatic rift with the Vatican. Chad Green has turned up in Mexico. The boy and his parents disappeared from Massachusetts yesterday after a court ordered them to stop using the controversial drug Laetrol for Chad's leukemia. Today, Chad went into a clinic in Tijuana to begin Laetrol treatments. More from Harold Dow.
Court ordered or not, Gerald and Diana Green say they don't want their 3-year-old son Chad to undergo any more chemotherapy treatments unless he can also be given vitamin nutrients and Laetrol as well. The Greens say chemotherapy alone turns young Chad into a, quote, wild animal.
That his emotional side effects were worse to me even than the stomach cramps and not being able to sleep, because he would even get just start to shake and throw himself on the floor, throw himself against the wall and just scream. And if anybody was near him, he would take his hands and claw your face and pull your hair and bite and just go crazy.
The Greens say they will stay in Mexico and continue giving their son chemotherapy, vitamins, and Laetril as long as they feel it's necessary. Harold Dowell, CBS News, San Diego.
Troops with orders to shoot to kill opened fire on a demonstration in Iran's capital today. At least 20 people were killed, dozens wounded. The protesters defied a government order banning all demonstrations as they marched through Tehran shouting support for the exiled religious leader Ayatollah Khomeini. Italy is facing another political crisis. The Communist Party has pulled out of a coalition with the ruling Christian Democrats. Prime Minister Giulio Andreotti is expected to resign on Monday. The Communists had supported the minority government for 2 years, but apparently they were angry because they weren't given any cabinet positions. Now this. Situation critical in Nebraska. More snow there has left herds of cattle without food, and they're starving to death. The snow has covered the grazing land in much of the Midwest, and the cattle can't reach haystacks to feed. Another major storm system moved east on Friday, bringing snow to Utah, Arizona, Minnesota, and Missouri. Freezing rain fell in New England, raising fears of widespread flooding. I'm Deborah Potter, CBS News.